point, North Korean Chinese ventures operating in China will be shut down. The companies have been given 120 days' notice of the action, the move seen as another attempt by China to adhere to U.N. sanctions and put pressure on the regime of Kim Jong-un in North Korea.
House Majority Whip Steve Scalise returning to work today for the first time since he was shot at a GOP baseball practice in June. The Louisiana congressman's office sending out an email with a subject line stating, "He's back." Scalise also tweeting a picture of himself and his wife looking out over the Capitol with the caption, "I'm back." His office says Scalise will cast votes, and he will also be expected to speak on the floor of the House today. This is USA Radio News.
Get the best night's sleep of your life with a MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com, enter promo code USA, and you'll get 50% off two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows. MyPillow.com, promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175. 8175, 100% machine washable, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. How can you lose? Go to MyPillow.com, promo code USA.
Playboy founder Hugh Hefner has died. He reportedly died at his Playboy mansion yesterday at the age of 91. A federal court is ruling that Kentucky's abortion law violates doctors' First Amendment rights. It's a law that requires doctors to conduct ultrasounds and then describe the image to a pregnant woman before she can consent to an abortion. But a U.S. District Judge, David Hale, ruled yesterday that that law violates doctors' free speech rights. Pope Francis is ordering the Catholic Church to launch a new immigrant program, as we hear from USA Radio's Jason Wirt.
Pope Francis is launching a two-year campaign to raise awareness about the plight of migrants. The Vatican says the campaign is designed to counteract mounting anti-immigrant sentiment in Europe, the U.S., and beyond. It encourages people to actually meet with migrants and listen to their stories rather than treat them as statistics clouded by negative stereotypes. I'm Jason Wirt.
There is a poll out that claims a majority of Americans believe Donald Trump is not fit to be president. It's the Quinnipiac University survey that finds 56% of the voters surveyed do not think he's fit, and 42% believe he is. Voters who think Trump is fit to be president are mostly Republicans, while nearly all the Democrats polled said he was not fit to serve. And remember, you can find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarolecounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
On today's program, I'll have my thoughts on the NFL players taking a knee during last Sunday's games and what is missing from their protest. I'll also be talking about the 7 interview questions every small business owner should ask and what you should be doing if you're experiencing shipping delays because of the recent storms. It's Thursday, September 28th, 2017, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
Taking care of business.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we do that, we check the weather. It's currently 73 degrees at 12:06, and the forecast shows that today it'll be cooler with sun and some clouds, a high of 77 and a low of 47. For tomorrow, it'll be partly cloudy, with or partly sunny with a pleasant temperature, a high of 70 and a low of 48. For Saturday, we're going to have a morning shower with and then cloudy skies throughout the day with a high of 66 and a low of 43. And for Sunday, we're going to have plenty of sunshine, seasonable temperatures, a high of 71 and a low of 42. Current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently up 33.33 to 22,374.04. The NASDAQ is down 13.86 to 6439.40. S&P 500 down 13 to 2506.91. Oil down 39 cents to $51.75 per barrel. And gold is down 20 cents to $1,287.60 an ounce. Like to thank everybody for tuning in on Facebook Live, including you, Mark Whitner. Thanks for joining me. Now tune to the rest of the program at www.huntertonchamberradio.com. Well, good afternoon, everybody. And as I mentioned in the intro, my name is Jim Gano, the host of Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Got a lot to get to today. There's a whole bunch going on in the world and in the business world as well. Just a reminder, if you're listening to this program now live, you can, and even if you're listening to the program on an archive edition of the program, by all means, open up another browser. Go to Taking Care of Business, that's T-A-K-I-N, Care of Business, with Jim Gano, and like and follow the program. And you'll get updates throughout the week on either show topics that are coming up or things that may be applicable to business. One business story that just came out this morning was that Hugh Hefner died at the age of 91. Some people would say, why is that a business story? Well, he did build a publishing empire in his career. Some people may disagree with what he was publishing, but if you like the articles, that was a fine magazine. So sad to see that Hugh Hefner has left us. And don't forget, you know, as I mentioned, to like our page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano on Facebook. At this time during the program, every week we come up with what is called the business quote of the week. And sometimes it's a sports celebrity, a movie star, a business person. You never know where it's going to come from. It's just, is it applicable to business? And this week's is definitely applicable to business. And it comes from Anthony Robbins. And he says, there is a powerful driving force inside every human being that once unleashed can make any vision, dream, or desire a reality. So one more time. There's a powerful driving force inside every human being that once unleashed can make any vision, dream, or desire a reality. So think about that for a minute, and as you go about your workday, is there that burning ember somewhere inside of you, that deep driving force? Some people have it, and it's on all day long, and you can see it. For others, they have to get pushed to a certain point before they'll show it. But for others, it's always there. And you know, so when do you unleash it? And like I said, for some people, it's on all the time. And then for others, it's you know, when need presents itself. You know, it turns itself on. So just something to think about. You know, do you have that powerful driving force that once unleashed can make any vision, dream, or desire a reality? So that comes to us from Anthony Robbins, a great motivational speaker. If you have Netflix, a great biography to watch is I Am Not Your Guru, which is follows Anthony or Tony Robbins through a seminar that he gave. It was over the course of several days, and it really kind of showed how he was telling people, you have all you need to be successful. You don't need Anthony Robbins. And he says at one point, he goes, I'm not your guru. I'm just giving you the roadmap for success. So something to think about, that you don't necessarily need someone like him. You know, it's a matter of whether or not you can be that person all by yourself. And, you know, and then, you know, find that power within to make yourself great. And I think, you know, everybody's great in their own right. Now it's just a matter of whether or not you're willing to unleash it. That's the E&E portion of the program, effort and execution. We're going to talk about the NFL after the first break. First, I want to get through the 7 interview questions that every small business owner should ask. Now, it's critical to hire the right employees for your growing small business. And if you use these job interview questions, you can help weed out and find the best candidate. Now, when it comes to hiring employees, there are some pretty big differences between hiring for a large corporation and hiring for a small business. In a larger business, even if someone isn't pulling their weight, their load can be picked up by someone else. In a small business with only a few employees, everyone has to keep up the pace or the business will suffer. Finding and hiring the right employees is essential. So here are 7 interview questions that every small business owner should ask potential new hires. If you have any interviewing coming up, keep these in mind. The first question, very simply, is, are you able to work independently? You will likely have your hands full with a lot of things, and you don't have time to stand over an employee and watch their every move. So you need to know that they'll be able to do their job without needing help every few minutes or having to always stop and ask questions. This wastes their time and yours, and nothing is going to get done. The second question is, can you give me an example of a problem that you have resolved? Now, in any business, problems can and will crop up from time to time, some small, some large. And you may not always be there to handle a problem, and you need to know that the person you hire is able to think on their feet and then find the solution. So ask if they can give you examples of problems that they have resolved at past jobs. Throughout the interview, watch their body language to see if anything makes them uncomfortable, which may be a sign that they're not the right person for the job. Number 3, where do you see yourself this time next year? And I flip this with the candidate and the employer. The employer needs to know that anyone you hire is going to be there for the long haul. That makes sense. But you likely don't have the time or the resources to hire someone else just a few months after thinking that you found the ideal employee. So the answer you want to hear is that they want to be with your company, they want to help it grow and succeed. On the candidate side of the table, what I always tell people is ask the hiring manager, what do you need me to accomplish in the first 3 months, 6 months, 1 year to show that you're goal-driven and looking forward to that long term? The fourth question is to discuss a time when you resolved a customer complaint. Now, when you're not able to be there in person, you need to know that you have an employee who can handle any customer complaints and issues without having to get you to step in. Ask candidates if they have resolved customer complaints and then ask them to explain in detail how they were able to resolve those problems to the customer's satisfaction. Fifth question, name something you have done that wasn't in your job description. Now, there are times when you might need your employees to go above and beyond their job description. Then there are some employees who just do this automatically. So ask candidates if they have done things to help their previous employers that was not something that they were expected to do. One of the most common resume mistakes is not adding things that will make the candidate stand out. 6, why do you want to work at a small business? And this is one of the most important questions you need to ask. A lot of candidates apply to the jobs offered by larger corporations because in many cases, they're able to offer more competitive benefits and pay. So you need to know why someone would choose your company instead. And the final question is, can we schedule a less formal interview, possibly over lunch? If you're really interested in a particular candidate, you need to find out if you're going to be able to work with them. Ask them to meet you for lunch, and then you can discuss the position further and see if this person is really going to be a good fit with your small business. Take them out of that structured environment of the workplace and get them to relax a little bit over lunch or something else. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about the NFL, the player protest, and what's missing from all of those actions. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a six-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterton County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterton Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterton Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, the host of Taking Care of Business. And occasionally there are some social issues that come to the forefront that need to be addressed. And a lot of people have been asking me this week what my take was and whether or not I'd be discussing what happened last Sunday with the NFL players taking a knee. This was done, if you recall last year, Colin Kaepernick was the first player to take a knee. He was the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. And as a result, for lack of a better term, I guess you can say that he got blackballed by the league. No team will touch him. He's a lightning rod. Nobody will touch him. They don't want the controversy. They don't want, you know, the obligatory boos that are going to come with hiring a Colin Kaepernick. Last Sunday, starting with the game over in England, players started in unison to take a knee during the national anthem, or they were interlocking arms, or three teams, you know, stayed and hid in their locker rooms. And this was to protest what Donald Trump said last Friday about NFL players were sons of bitches and they should all be fired. He didn't have to go that route. There's definitely a time and a place to protest. I'm going to put it right out there right now that I believe in the power of protest, providing that it's peaceful. I don't want people getting hurt. I don't want there to be looting. I just want to know what the issue is. And then I want to take it one step further and figure out what are we going to do about it. And that's part of what this portion of the program is dedicated to. Now, a lot of people, 70% in a recent Gallup poll, said that while they agree with the ability for people to protest, they disagree with protesting during the national anthem, protesting when the flag is being honored, things like that. 666,441 service members have lost their lives in all military conflicts dating back to the incorporation of the United States of America. 666,000 died so that you and I can enjoy the freedoms in this country. Now, their arguments will go back and forth, but that didn't apply to slavery, things like that. We're not going there just yet. So, taking a minute and 30 seconds to listen to the national anthem in respect, in reverence, in honor to those who have given that sacrifice, to those who volunteer predominantly, not drafted, but predominantly volunteer to serve their country, to lay down their life for you and I, so that we can sit here and enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy. It's as if all of the players, by choosing to protest during the anthem, did so with a lack of respect for our veterans. Racism has absolutely no place in this country. And I understand when friends of mine who are black will say that there is an inequality in the country. I totally get it. But the problem, again, is that the way they went about the protest, while bringing attention to themselves and to their cause, was right. I mean, you definitely had a national audience to do it with. I think that it pissed more people off than it helped their cause. NFL fans are saying they won't buy merchandise. NFL fans are saying they won't go to games. NFL fans are saying they won't even watch games anymore. They don't want to be affiliated with it until this matter goes away. But the matter won't go away, plain and simple. Racism is here, and it has to be abolished. And I don't know if it will happen in our lifetime. I gave the example a couple of weeks ago of children on a playground. If you go to any playground, seemingly in America, and you watch kids between the ages of 2 through 5, they just play. They don't know black and white and yellow and red. They just play with each other. You're my age, I'm your age, let's play. You know, racism isn't taught in a classroom. Racism is taught at home. And eventually, as those kids get older on that playground, suddenly you start to see that the white kids aren't necessarily playing with the black kids. That's taught. That's not something that is inherent or genetic or anything else. So I think that we have to work in the community, the white community, the black community, in teaching more tolerance for one another and understanding that not every black man is bad, not every white man is bad, not every white cop is bad. I've talked to several police officers on the local, county, state, and national level in preparation for this show, and I can tell you that they freely admit that, yes, there are a few bad apples in the bunch. Not every cop is going to be vetted perfectly, and that, yes, there will be mistakes made. But that is a very, very small minority of all police officers. And keep in mind that usually when a person is stopped, it's under suspicion that they did something wrong. When a cop shoots somebody and they find a gun or he makes a threat, is it justified? Again, each situation being different. The Pittsburgh Steelers stayed in their locker room except for Alejandro Villanueva, who's an Army veteran, served 3 tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. He said he wanted to see the large... He came out the next day and said that he apologized to his teammates for not showing that unity, but he wanted to go outside and see the unfurling of a large American flag that was going to cover the entire field. And he did that. And then shortly thereafter, the anthem started to play, and out of habit, he stayed, put his hand over his heart, and watched the anthem. I feel bad that he had to feel the need to apologize to his teammates. I know for one, I will never kneel when the national anthem is played. In my house, and you can ask my friends, if the TV is on and the national anthem starts to play, I stop and I listen. And that could be in someone's living room, could be in my living room. It doesn't matter. When the anthem plays, I was taught, coming from a military family, we stop and we respect that flag and we respect that anthem. So for the players who went to England and kneeled during our national anthem, but then stood for God Bless the Queen, what a horrible show on a national stage. I totally disagree with anybody who disrespects our flag, who disrespects our country, who disrespects our anthem, because it's for all of us. NASCAR owners Richard Childress and Richard Petty have come out and said that if anybody on their teams kneels or does anything during the national anthem other than stand and observe that anthem, they would be fired immediately. Agree or disagree? Sports team owners and league commissioners are the bosses. After the police shooting in Dallas a few years ago, the Cowboys wanted to wear a patch on their uniform in support of the 5 officers who were killed. The NFL wouldn't let them do it. So then why is it okay to let players protest? After 9/11, a lot of the New York Giants players and New York Jets players wanted to wear special cleats that had stars and stripes, and the NFL wouldn't let them do it. But we're saying it's okay for you to protest the anthem. There's been a lot of acronyms thrown around over the years for NFL, like the No Fun League and things like that. They're about to become the No Fan League because of this rudderless ship with Roger Goodell at the helm. The league and the commissioner are the bosses. The team owner is the boss. And if the team owner says, you will stand for the anthem, I don't mind if you protest, but you have to do it somewhere else, sometime else, then you do that. I don't care if the players do something on the sideline during the game, just not during the anthem. Speaking of players and owners, the salary cap in the NFL is $174 million per team. There are 32 teams, which means that players combined, and some get more, some get less, will make $5.568 billion this year alone. Now, someone like J.J. Watt, after the Houston flooding from Hurricane Irma, starts a fundraiser in the hopes of raising $500,000, donates $100,000 himself, and ends up raising $36 million. He's giving back to his community. Of that $5.568 million, how many of the players who are locking arms, taking knees, or not coming out at all for the anthem are giving back to their communities? It's okay to say that there's inequality, but there's inequality right in your own locker room. You're making millions. I think the league minimum is like $750,000 now. You're making millions. What are you doing as an individual to give back within your community? I'm not saying you're going to erase the inequality, but you have to start with yourself. And if you're not giving back, if you're not leading by example, then I think that you're a bit of a hypocrite for doing that. Again, it's okay to protest. And after making millions, what are they doing to affect that inequality? I am proposing that dialogue is the key. It's one thing to come out and say, well, we're protesting inequality. Give me a list. Of what? The inequality of what? If you were to say a black man and a white man going for the same job, the black man's going to make 20% less, fixable. If you were to say, and if the women's issue, same thing, equal pay for equal work. So it doesn't matter whether you're white, black, male, or female. If that's the issue, that's fixable. If it's that we don't like that black men are being targeted by white officers, that's where the dialogue has to start. Okay, if we're saying that there's inequality in available jobs, again, a portion of where the dialogue starts. The problem is that all of these players, 52 players per team times 32 teams, are only saying one word, inequality. We have to start that dialogue. Where is the inequality? How can we get together? How can we fix it? I've said this for years on this program, ever since Ferguson and Baltimore and St. Louis. The dialogue has to start with white community leaders and black community leaders getting together in those towns and across this country and start talking and creating that dialogue so that we can start working on problems. Don't just say there's a lot of problems in the community. Don't just say there's inequality. We have to start addressing them one by one. Then and only then will this country be great again.
White with calm, calm. USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Democrats and Republicans in Congress should come together, finally, to deliver this giant win for the American people and begin middle-class miracle.
President Trump, in his speech delivering the GOP tax reform plan, the president called on both sides of the aisle to come together to bring relief to middle-income Americans. House Speaker Paul Ryan praised the president for his leadership.
I want to especially thank President Trump for his leadership. To him, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that is all about more jobs, fairer taxes, and bigger paychecks for American families. For all of us, this is a now-or-never moment.
House Majority Whip Steve Scalise back at the Capitol today. It's the first time Scalise has been in the Capitol since he was shot at GOP baseball practice in June. USA Radio News.
Good news, everyone. Futurama is back in an all-new episode that's available for audio download or listening today. And it's free. The new episode, created by the original Futurama team, came to life after they were reunited to create new content for Jam City's mobile game, Futurama Worlds of Tomorrow. Executive producer David X. Cohen says the cast had a great time creating both the video game and the 42-minute-long podcast episode.
It's weird, you know, several years go by and you don't make an episode of Futurama and you get a little nervous, like, can we still do this? And then everybody just kind of locks into work mode again and it feels like old times. We have the whole original crew back together for this. We have all original writers from the show. We have the original animators and the entire cast of the show.
Fans of the show will find the podcast on sites including Nerdist.com and YouTube. The Futurama Worlds of Tomorrow game is also free and available for mobile devices via the App Store and Google Play.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join us. I apologize if there's a lot of background noise, but here in the large house, which is where the Huntington County Chamber of Commerce is located, big day today as painting has gotten started. And so they're starting to do a little bit of sandblasting on the side of the house to get some of this 150-year-old paint off. And then fresh coats of paint can go on. So I'm sure the large house is going to look just beautiful in just a few weeks. And I can't wait for it to see it all lit up for the holiday parade and things like that that are going to be happening around town this year. The show is called Taking Care of Business. Let's get right back into it. There is a problem that a lot of businesses are suffering from, and mine included, because of Hurricane Irma and Hurricane Harvey, and even Hurricane Maria, parts of the country that we rely on because our vendors are there can't ship. UPS can't get to certain areas yet because of flooding, because of power issues, or your vendors are out of business right now because they've suffered damage. Several of our vendors in the Miami area, we haven't even heard from. You know, one, for the first time in about 3 weeks, sent out an email yesterday saying, hey, we're back. We don't have phones, but, you know, we were able to finally get into our building. The damage isn't terrible. You know, we should be back up and running shortly. So is your business experiencing weather-related shipping problems? Now, in the wake of the extensive hurricane damage, companies across the United States are experiencing many shipping problems. So there's a couple of tips that you can try, or steps you can try, to safeguard your business when this happens. Now, in addition to wreaking havoc on those living in the affected areas, recent hurricanes have created a domino effect for companies across the country. Weather-related shipping problems have slowed down business nationwide. So when it comes to natural disasters and the impact on shipping and business, the back-to-back nature and power of the two recent storms, Irma and Harvey, are like nothing we've seen in the past century, believes Tim Story, who's the executive vice president of freight operations for a company called Unishippers. The company is a third-party logistics company that services thousands of small to medium-sized businesses nationwide. The storms have resulted in a severely damaged transport infrastructure. He said that includes bridges, rail lines, and roads across Florida, Georgia, and Texas. But the impact is not limited to those areas. Every state is experiencing the results of delays and backlogs. Now, with brick-and-mortar retail closures at an all-time high, it's already a challenging time for businesses, according to Mark Gorlin, who's the founder and CEO of Roadie, an app-based service that features on-the-way delivery that enables businesses to use vacant space in passenger vehicles to transport products. Assure your customers that you're working to resume business as usual, Gorlin says. Retailers are desperate to compete in an environment where margins are already razor thin and customers have come to expect free same-day and next-day shipping and delivery. Obviously, devastating events such as Hurricanes Harvey and Irma add to that stress. Stalls, lost shipments, and blocked shipping routes cause a ripple effect that impacts every part of a business. So here's a couple of tips on how to deal with any shipping problems you may be encountering. So whether your shipping delays have affected your business directly or indirectly, your bottom line can suffer. So try these four tips for dealing with shipping challenges now and in the future. First, you want to communicate with your customers. Now, what customers and vendors crave most during uncertain times is frequent communication to manage expectations, address uncertainties, and quell any anxieties about your ability to do business. Assure your customers that you're being proactive in not only working to get your traditional shipping lanes back into full effect, but that you're also arranging alternative delivery options to get items out as efficiently as possible. Keep the dialogue going with consumers, agrees John Weissman, who's the founder of Smilo, which produces children's feeding and soothing products. Customers located in the affected areas are already in highly stressful situations, said Weissman, who experienced Hurricane Katrina. At Smilo, we maintain an open dialogue with customers to assure them while we work on their shipping issues. Number two, have shipping backup plans. Alternative methods of getting products to customers and receiving supplies may keep you from losing business down the road. Backup plans are critical, believes Eric Morton, who's the Vice President of Strategy and Corporate Development at Commerce Hub, which promotes products and provides drop shipment services. It's good for the shipper to have a battle-tested business continuity plan, and this includes inventory geographically distributed to multiple fulfillment partners in different parts of the country. This allows the seller to keep shipping from other locations when one of their partners has a disruption caused by a natural disaster. Businesses that use a third-party logistics partner have an edge, agrees Story. Such businesses have access to a larger segment of various types of carriers, including airlift, ocean, rail, truck, and small package. If businesses contract with one carrier, when that carrier is affected, they're stuck. Consider weather-related insurance. Shipping carriers aren't liable for damage or lost shipments when factors outside of their control occur, such as natural weather disasters, according to Story. A carrier can take every step possible to minimize any future issues, such as not sending shipments into the affected areas, but items that are lost or damaged as a result of the storms are not covered. Given the fact that losses can be catastrophic for a business, Story suggests that businesses look into getting insurance that covers weather-related damages. And finally, be patient. The effects of the recent weather events will have an impact on shipping capacity for quite some time. Time-sensitive priority shipments such as food, water, and supplies will take precedence over commercial business, says Story. Priority shipments flagged to support disaster recovery efforts will shrink the capacity for non-priority shipments. Shipping limitations and the fact that Hurricane Harvey hit Houston oil refineries will almost likely create price increases in shipping, believes Story, due to increased fuel costs. Rebuilding takes time, and that's something you want to relay to your customers, said Gorlin. Assure your customers that you're working hard to resume business as usual. If you're in retail and you do a lot of shipping with either UPS or FedEx, a lot of times when you go to ship something, or even if you just go on the UPS or FedEx websites, they will tell you in what areas, by zip code, they're most affected. And after Hurricane Irma came out, I looked up the zip codes that were affected in Texas, and there were hundreds of them. And then when you kind of block that out on a map, you could see that it was a wide-ranging area. We do business with some vendors down in that area, but we really got hit hard with the ones in Miami. And, as a result, we have to let our customers know we have a problem with your shipment or come up with an alternate solution. But I also like that point in there about how having multiple distribution sites is key. Even if you have one distribution site, but you get hit by a blizzard and you're knocked out for 3 days, roads are impassable in your area, they may not be impassable, two states over, and those people are waiting for their product. But if you can't get to work and your employees can't get to work, how are those orders going to be fulfilled? Next up, we're going to talk about how to train your employees in customer service. We've talked about customer service on the program for so long, and yet it still seems, as I go from business to business, that people just don't get it. The constant change in customer engagement may make you wonder how to train your employees in customer service And focusing on the customer experience is a start. Now, when you consider how to train your employees in customer service, you may just want to take a step back for a moment to think about the overall customer experience instead. In this hyper-customer economy, it's important to focus on helping everyone in the company see the importance of the end-to-end customer experience. How does customer service training differ from customer experience training? One of your first steps in how to train your employees in customer service is to be clear about the difference between customer service and customer experience training. A superb customer experience is made up of the total series of memorable moments in the entire customer service cycle. So, in a 2016 McKinsey & Company report, Customer Experience, Creating Value Through Transforming Customer Journeys, McKinsey shows that best-in-class companies optimize customer journeys, not just touch points. That's because customers experience companies through end-to-end experience, not just through touch points. So how does so let's take a hotel experience as an example. The customer rep who takes the reservation is friendly and helpful, providing additional information regarding transportation from the airport, answering all their other questions. She even goes the extra mile to search for a better room rate for you within the hotel categories. This is a sign of good customer service training. You're feeling pretty good about your hotel choice. Customer service training is focusing on the trees, while training on the experience is focusing on the forest. One is operational, the other strategic. When you arrive at the hotel, the porter rushes to open the car door, welcomes the children. He even bends to collect the child's toy and hands it to her with a smile. This is also part of good customer service training. You continue to feel that you made the right choice. But then you arrive at the reception counter. The clerk who greets you has a frosty expression. He interrupts his interaction with you to discuss an issue with another hotel employee who approached him. He answers your question about the Wi-Fi while continuing to look at his screen to process your information. He never mentions your name, but he does all the other expected bare-bones aspect of customer service. He explains the hotel's amenities, asks how many keys you need, and hands out the keys, and then with a blank expression, he wishes you a happy stay at the hotel. You head to your room not feeling quite as sure about your upcoming hotel experience as you felt before. Nothing bad happened, but your feeling about the hotel has totally changed. The complete end-to-end experience you had in this partial encounter with the hotel was not seamless. In a series of open doors, this one touch point felt like a closed door. So how do you conduct customer service training within the framework of the overall customer experience? Focus on the emotions. The mechanics in customer service transactions are easily copied and may even be surpassed by your competitors. Training people on how to create a positive emotional experience every step of the way may make you stand out from the competition. A 2016 ROI of customer experience study from the Temkin Group involved feedback from 10,000 U.S. consumers regarding their emotional experience with 294 companies across 20 industries. The study had this to reveal: how a customer feels about an interaction in the most significant is the most significant driver of customer loyalty compared to customers who have a poor emotional experience. The bottom line is you have to train people to care about the customer's emotions. So when you think about how to train your employees in customer service, ask yourself this: how does everyone who comes in contact with our customer make that customer feel? Right down to the cleaning lady in that hotel. Raising everyone's awareness of this key point can be an integral part of any customer experience training. As Harley Manning of research and advisory firm Forrester says in a video, the very best customer experiences are enjoyable. They're emotionally engaging, and this is something that businesses forget. They forget that their customers have emotions and that emotions lead them to make decisions. Educate your employees to share in the vision and hire brand ambassadors. Your initiative on how to train your employees in customer service may be more successful if you have the right people in the right jobs. Hiring right in the first place can help achieve great customer service and positive customer experiences. So let's take our hotel example. It's safe to say that individuals who didn't like people shouldn't be in the hospitality business, or for that matter in any business where there's extensive customer interaction. You can train waiters on how to set a table or how to explain the day's menu, but you cannot train them to be genuinely warm with patrons. So work on that on a regular basis, because again, these are the people that are frontline in your company with your customer, and you don't want to have them be the reason why your customers won't come back. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business, it's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
Oh, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. So glad you could join me today. And right after the show, got to scoot back out and get back to the store. We are busy. And so I got to get there, and we'll probably be there till about 9 o'clock at night. And that's what you do as a small business owner. You stay until all the work is complete. You got to keep those customers happy. Let's talk about something that's making a lot of business owners unhappy, and that is four costly business credit card myths. Now, if you want to expose the truth behind these common misconceptions and start taking advantage of business credit cards and their many benefits, what payment methods do you use to make purchases for your business? If a business credit card isn't on your list, it might be time to rethink it. Those who don't take advantage of business credit cards miss out on rewards, tools to track spending, and a good way to start building strong business credit. So here are four myths that shouldn't stop you from taking advantage of business credit cards and their many benefits. The first is, I can use a personal card for my business purchases. You've probably heard the adage about mixing business and pleasure, but maybe you didn't know the same principle applies to your personal and business finances. Using a personal credit card for business expenses, while possible, is not a good idea for a few reasons. First, you are putting your personal credit and financial well-being at risk. Businesses usually incur more expenses than we do as individuals, and if you're racking up purchases on your personal credit card for your business, your personal credit could suffer due to high debt utilization. This will make it harder for you to qualify for additional funding or credit cards down the road should you need it for you or your business. Second, separating your personal and business expenses will help you establish your business in the eyes of business credit reporting agencies. In other words, until you start incurring bills in the name of your business, you won't have business credit reports and scores. Business credit is important. It allows lenders, suppliers, and vendors to evaluate the creditworthiness of your business. If your business has strong scores, you may be able to avoid signing personal guarantees on future business financing, saving you from greater personal financial risks should the business go under. The second misconception is I'm a startup, so I can't get a business credit card. Now, unlike many business financing options, you don't need to be an established business to qualify for business credit cards. Business credit card providers generally look at your personal credit score to qualify your business for a card. To determine your credit limit, they will almost always look at your combined income from both business and personal sources. So if you're just starting your business, you can still qualify if you have solid personal credit scores. And if you haven't yet quit your day job, you just recently did so, or have income from another source, like a spouse, that income will be considered when determining how much available credit you'll be granted. If you don't have an employer identification number, an EIN number for your business, use your Social Security number on your business credit card application. The third misconception is, I can't afford the risk. Now, here are a couple concerns that have been weighed regarding business owners about the risk associated with business credit cards. I'm worried about protecting against fraudulent charges. Fortunately, business credit cards are covered for fraudulent use under the same protections as personal credit cards. Under the Truth in Lending Act, a cardholder cannot be held responsible for more than $50 of an unauthorized purchase made on these cards. This act also provides requirements for timely resolution of credit card disputes on both personal and business credit cards. Because of these protections, credit cards offer more protection than other payment methods such as checks and debit cards. The second misconception is I'm worried about controlling the amount I spend. If you're worried about accumulating debt on your business credit card, consider a business charge card. Charge cards force you to pay in full each month, so there's no balance carried and no interest paid on that balance. My personal credit card offers better rewards is another misconception. If you think your $150 introductory offer is better than any offer you're going to find on a business credit card, think again. How does 80,000 bonus points after $5,000 spent on purchases in the first 3 months sound? Or a $500 cash bonus after you spend $4,500 on purchases in the first 3 months? Business credit cards can offer lucrative rewards, sometimes even better than that of consumer cards. Credit card providers offer great rewards to compete for your business for a simple reason. Business spending differs from that of consumer spending, and a business is more likely to run up debt for a few months buying inventory or completing a project and still be able to pay off that debt, including interest that has accrued. Business credit cards have a lot to offer entrepreneurs who use them wisely, so evaluate your options and get a card that's right for you. Pay at least your minimum balance on time to start building a strong business credit score and start opening more doors for your business. So there's a couple of tips there for you on business credit cards and the myths associated with them. So hopefully, if you haven't done it, if you're just starting out, this would be a good time. And really watch the mixing the business with the personal, because that's an area where, and I know I talked about it a few weeks ago on the show, where if you pay with a personal card to buy inventory, let's say, and suddenly you're the people that owe you money haven't paid you net 30, net, all of a sudden it's out net 60, net 90, that's going to start affecting your personal credit, and you don't want that to happen. Here's one question you should ask to improve your cash flow. Getting trade terms from vendors and suppliers can boost your small business's finance and build strong credit. And even if business is great, it can sometimes seem like the exit door to your bank account is bigger than the entry. Negative cash flow, although it doesn't necessarily mean that you have poor business performance, can crush your company. If there's not enough cash coming in to cover what's going out, your business's cash reserve will dwindle, and continuing to operate your business will be difficult. If cash flow is a problem for you, you may be able to leverage your business relationships to stop serious problems before they start. It all starts with one simple question that you can ask your vendors and suppliers. Do you offer trade terms? Now, what are terms? When a vendor or a supplier offers terms, trade terms, or trade credit to its customers, it's really offering customers a chance to delay payment for the length of the specified term. In some cases, it'll be a short term, even as little as 7 days, but it can be longer, 30, 60, or 90. And if a vendor offers you net 20 terms, it means that you have 20 days before you have to fork over the money you owe for the product or service provided. In this way, trade credit is actually a form of financing. The supplier is the lender, the customer is the borrower, and the trade terms are the repayment terms specified in the agreement, and so on. Some suppliers or vendors will specify in their agreement a discount for earlier payment. For example, you might have net 30 terms, but if you pay within 10 days, you get a 2% discount, and that adds up. So how do you take advantage of trade credit in your business? Your ability to get trade credit is often closely linked to your business credit scores and reports. Here's a few things you can do to make sure you're getting the best terms. Apply for a DUNS number. A DUNS number is a unique identifier for your business used by vendors, suppliers, and lenders to access information about your company. When you apply for trade terms, your vendor or supplier may want to look up your DUNS number to inquire about your business's payment history. Also, ask suppliers if they offer terms and open trade accounts with suppliers that do. The vendors and suppliers you currently work with may offer terms to customers that ask about them, so it's possible to start with a short-term arrangement with them first. And then make on-time payments so you're offered even better terms in the future. So here's some great news if you make on-time payments on your trade agreements. Accountants or accounts with terms are often reported to commercial credit agencies like Dun & Bradstreet. D&B will then take your payment experiences into account when calculating your business credit score. This is a good way to start building business credit. With strong business credit, you'll put your company on track to qualify for the best terms and to secure financing that you may need in the future. In sports, in Major League Baseball, in the American League, the Red Sox, Indians, and Astros lead their divisions, while in the National League, the Nationals, Cubs, and Dodgers lead their divisions as we get closer to the playoffs. In the NFL, this is week four of the regular season. The Eagles will play the Chargers, the Giants will play the Buccaneers, and the Jets will take on the Jaguars. And in college football, Rutgers will play number 11 Ohio State on Saturday at 7:30 p.m. in New Brunswick. The AP Top 10 looks like this in NCAA football. Heading into week four, Alabama holds down the top spot, followed by Clemson, Oklahoma, Penn State, and USC. Washington, Georgia, Michigan, TCU, and Wisconsin round out the top 10. In NCAA basketball news, four assistant coaches and an Adidas executive were arrested by the FBI amid a corruption case. The fallout does not end there, as Louisville coach Rick Pitino was put on administrative leave yesterday, unpaid, along with the university's athletic director. The entire 2018 recruiting class for Louisville decommitted to the school after that news. In NASCAR news, it was Kyle Busch who won last week's race in New Hampshire, so he will advance to the round of 12 in the playoffs. This week is the third race of the playoffs, and it will be held in Dover, Delaware. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have upcoming ideas for or program topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGaneau83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Ganeau. I am Jim Ganeau, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. And I'll be taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime will help. You're listening to WHCR-DB. HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Democrats and Republicans in Congress should come together finally to deliver this giant win for the American people and begin middle-class miracle.
President Trump, in a speech delivering the GOP tax reform plan, the president called on both sides of the aisle to come together to bring relief to middle-income Americans. House Speaker Paul Ryan praised the president for his leadership.
I want to especially thank President Trump for his leadership. To him, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that is all about more jobs, fairer taxes, and bigger paychecks for American families. For all of us, this is a now or never moment.
House Majority Whip Steve Scalise back at the Capitol today. It's the first time Scalise has been in the Capitol since he was shot at GOP baseball practice in June. USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
I've had 10 major surgeries, including 3 brain surgeries. And I have extreme rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, and fibromyalgia. And I wanted to let him know that his balance of nature have helped boost my immune system so much because I'm on injectable medication.